Hi and welcome. Welcome to the Right Mind, Right Weight Summit. I'm Lisa Goldberg and I'm here today with Dan DeFigio. Did I get that right?
You did, DeFigio.
Dan is a well-known nutrition expert and he's the best-selling author of Sugar Addiction for Dummies. Welcome, Dan. It's great to have you here today.
Thank you, Lisa. Thanks for bringing me in for such an important project.
Oh, well, it's my pleasure. But before we get into our conversation today, which I think is going to resonate with so many people. Tell us a little bit about yourself and the work that you do.
Sure. Well, I am known for helping people get off of sugar and stop stress eating. I'm the author of Beating Sugar Addiction for Dummies, and I'm the founder of BeatingSugarAddiction.com. And this is something that kind of just evolved over time. I've been in the industry for 24 years now. So I've been at it a long time, and I've worked with literally thousands and thousands of people and millions of readers. So I get a lot of information from people about what they're really struggling with. And it became clear to me early on in my career that stress eating and reaching for sugar and junk food is really a problem, and people needed a solution to that. So that's sort of how I evolved into this niche. It was more out of necessity than desire.
Well, you know, that's so true, because most of the people that I work with, you know, who struggle with emotional eating and yo-yo dieting, one of, you know, the biggest culprits for them is, you know, sweets and sugar. So often I hear, I feel like I have a sugar addiction. Once I have one bite, I can't stop. So tell us a little bit about, I believe you have a way of profiling, so to speak, you know, sugar addiction or carb addiction. So could you kind of tell us a little bit about, you know, how you break that down?
Yeah, sure thing. There are, of course, everyone's a little bit different, but I sort of have categories of types of typical sugar addicts that I work with. One type is the stress ball. You know, this is somebody who runs his self or herself way too hard and doesn't know the meaning of the word downtime. So they really end up reaching for sugar and junk food because they just don't have time, or they feel like they don't have any time or energy to put into any planning or any type of healthy eating initiative, because they're just maxed out, pedal to the metal all the time. Another common kind of sugar addict is somebody who is more of an emotional eater. I call it the comfort seeker. He or she generally will turn to sugar or junk food for emotional reasons. You know, they feel lonely or wish their life were different, those types of things. So we get into a lot of mentality and sort of psychology and inner critic stuff. My disclaimer, by the way, is I am not a licensed mental health professional. You know, I'm a nutrition coach, but when we get into people's behavior, you can't really talk about behavior unless you talk about how you think. So you sort of have to dive into the motivations and the thought process behind what you're doing. So that's just sort of a little heads up on that kind of stuff. Another common sugar addict is something that I call the sugar stalker. And this is somebody who has a real strong physiological addiction to sugar and sweet taste. So breaking those habits and sort of gradually stepping down the sweet requirement is really important for somebody who is in those shoes. And the last one I call the exhausted addict. And the exhausted addict is someone who is just run down and tired most of the day. And when something stressful happens, or when a challenge approaches, they basically just crash and burn. And so their typical behavior is reaching for junk food because, like, I just don't care. I can't think about anything else. I can't do it. And it's sort of hopelessness seems to be their hallmark. So those are the four major types. Some folks will find themselves in the place where they resemble one of those types very strongly. And other folks sort of tend to be a combination of those general stereotypes.
So let's talk a little bit about, you know, mindset maybe versus physiology, because the people you just described, those four different types, some of them can fall into, well, I feel like they all fall into a similar same category. But for some, it might be a little different. Then you've got those that really feel like they have a physical addiction to sugar. And there's some information out there. There's some studies out there that show sugar is really addictive. So could you
tell it is. You know, sugar tends to hit the reward centers of the brain, just like other types of medicating material, like alcohol or narcotics. So there is a physiological aspect to that. But unlike drugs and alcohol or gambling or other things that people sort of turn to, what we're really talking about with sugar and nutrition is starting to change the habits and the mindset about why people are doing what they're doing. And you can apply that to any kind of addiction work, really. But it's a little bit tougher with sugar because you have to eat, right? I mean, you can quit drinking, you can quit gambling, you can get off drugs cold turkey, but you've got to eat. So it's a little bit more of a challenge when it comes to food in general.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And hence the topic of the summit, Right Mind, Right Weight, because I think mindset is so important, you know, with everything having to do with sustainable weight loss. So tell us a little bit about, you know, how do you, you know, work with the people, your clients or patients that you work with to change their mindset, especially those that either are either convinced that they just can't stop or that, you know, really feel like they have this physiological addiction to sugar. How do you work with mindset and your clients? Because, you know, I truly believe that's really where the work needs to be done.
Yeah, I agree with you, Lisa. I think you hit the nail on the head right there. The way that I approach things is a little bit different. Actually, it's drastically different than a lot of the other sugar detox or quit sugar programs that you'll find out there. I approach things in terms of baby steps and building little by little better habits, as opposed to cold turkey. You got to stop on day one, we're done with this, and then you do something else after that. That the all or nothing thinking tends to result in a lot of yo-yo dieting back and forth. Either you're on a plan or you're off a plan. And on a plan is usually too strict. It's not sustainable. It's not normal because you don't have those as habits. You're just trying to change 25 things all at one time. And then when you fall off of that and you quit doing that, you just go right back to what you were doing before. So the end result is you haven't really changed anything. So I don't approach my work with people in that way at all. I do exactly the opposite. I approach it from the standpoint of whatever you do most of the time, whatever's normal for you, that's what you're like. That's what you get, you know, whatever you do most of the time. And that actually applies to any aspect of your life. You know, it applies certainly to your nutrition, applies to exercise and other lifestyle things. It applies to your relationships, your work ethic, what, you know, any aspect of your life, whatever you usually do, that's what you get. So if you don't like what is happening in any of these aspects, then you have to change what you usually do. You have to change what's normal for you. And that seems like a no-brainer when you say it that way, but that generally is not how people approach this type of stuff. So what I do when I work with clients is I start to figure out, okay, so here is what you're doing right now. This has been what is normal for you. So we start to make one or two changes, you know, little baby step changes. All right, let's improve this, or let's do this instead of that, that kind of thing. And then you sit with that for a couple weeks. And when that becomes normal, then you can change another one or two things. So over time, you know, if you take a block of, say, 4 months or 6 months, you look back, your behavior, your nutrition, your weight loss, all of that is totally different than it was 6 months ago. But you don't really feel like you're doing these radical, crazy changes that you aren't able to sustain.
Right. No, that's a great point, because, you know, part of what you were saying is how we do anything is how we do everything.
So, I love that. Can I steal that?
Yeah, absolutely. I've stole it from somebody before. I've heard it before. It's, and you know, I hear it all the time from, you know, a lot of coaches, no matter what they're coaching on.
Yeah.
How we do anything is how we do everything in all aspects of our life. So, you know, I know there's a lot of people listening who are probably thinking to themselves, you know, I do that, I start that, I get on a good trajectory, and then something happens. Something really stressful happens. You know, I call it a bump in the road, or, you know, something, you know, like a, something happens in somebody's life where they're kind of like knocked off their feet for a little bit and they resort back to their old behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Any recommendations or tools or strategies that you work with your clients when they kind of have those moments and they want to go back to using the sugar because they've convinced themselves it's going to make things better?
That's a really excellent question. When you start to make incremental changes and decisions on a one-by-one basis, as opposed to I am never going to have cake again, which is really not a realistic kind of approach to this, then of course you're going to have times. You can have a bad day. You're going to have a bad week, or sometimes several, you know, months in a row when something tragic happens in your life. It's really hard to stay organized. But the way that I go about coaching people is that every decision that you make nutrition-wise is a one-off decision. And the results that you get are the sum of these constantly passing you by decisions. So you're going to miss some of them, and it's okay. But every time the next decision comes up, see what you can do to maximize your health and your intentionality at that moment. Sure, something stressful is going on. Let's say, you know, someone has died, right? And you've got funeral and family arrangements and all this kind of stuff going on. Those kinds of things happen. But if you completely ignore any intentionality around how you feed yourself for the 6 weeks or 8 weeks that sort of thing is going on, then you've really set yourself up to have a difficult road to start to get back into a little more intentional eating. So instead of having your mentality like, either I am paying attention to what I'm eating all the time, or I'm not paying any attention for the next 2 months, you know, there's certainly a happy medium in there that can be done.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it makes sense. I mean, I often speak about people having like the dieter's mentality. So if something stressful does happen and you do turn to food, you know, often their way of thinking, if you've been dieting all your life, is, well, I've blown it, I may as well just keep going, you know, I'll worry about it next week, or I'll worry about it next month. And then they have a week or a month or however long they have of, you know, using, you know, bad food, sugary
yeah.
foods to try to make themselves feel better, versus having the mindset of, well, that was just a once off. And now I'm kind of back to, you know, my better way of fueling and nourishing myself. So do you give your clients any specific tools to use in these?
Yeah, absolutely. One of my tools, actually, one of the things on the beatingsugaraddiction.com website that I have that I give away for free to people is a little three-step guidebook. It's called 3 Steps to Kill Your Sugar Cravings. And it's a simple 3-step process when you find you have the urge to do some sort of stress eating or you get a real strong sugar craving. If you follow these 3 steps, it takes care of the craving most of the time. And I'll give you a little heads up, a little spoiler here. Step 3 is really the most important thing, and it's figuring out what you really want in that moment, because it's not sugar. It's not junk food. You know, when we have this craving, we as humans generally tend to do it because either it's just a habit that we have built this association where, I feel stressed, therefore I must eat junk food. So breaking that association is important because it's a faulty association, right? When you feel stressed, you don't have to eat junk food. It's just something that you have unconsciously built into your life. So pausing for a moment when you have that trigger and say, oh, what do I really want here? You know, is it peacefulness and a feeling of control or empowerment? Or, you know, am I seeking attention? Am I trying to distract myself? It's like, ooh, I'm feeling stressed and I don't want to feel that right now. So let me eat these Oreos and that'll give me something to do for 90 seconds instead of feel stressed out. You know, there are lots of different things that we as humans do to sort of ignore and or cover up these uncomfortable emotions. So the real key to changing the behavior of eating stress food, or excuse me, stress eating and eating junk food when you feel these uncomfortable feelings, is using that urge as your red flag to say, aha, I want something here. What is it?
Right. And so, you know, I want people to hear that it's about changing your behavior. And that's really what on this summit I'm trying to bring together in speaking with Dan and speaking with the other experts about, you know, a lot of it is habit, behavior, and mindset change, because it's not about the diet. It's not about the right plan. It's not about, you know, the magic foods that you're going to eat. It's about changing your habits and behavior and your mindset around food, eating, sugar.
Yeah.
Around yourself, right? I mean, do you do a lot of coaching where a lot of people, it's kind of like not just their relationship with food, but their relationship with themselves.
That of course.
Kind of needs to, you know, we need to take a look at, you know, to create the change, because at the end of the day, people don't just want to lose weight. They want to keep the weight off once they lose it.
And right. So
when you're working with your clients and, you know, you're trying to get them to break this sugar habit, do you tend to give them like substitutes? Do you tell them you're better off just kind of noticing what it is that you really want? And it's probably, you know, not food or sugar. Do you kind of recommend that they don't eat anything? Do you say, well, maybe try this instead? What's your approach as far as, you know, when everybody just feels like they want to eat, but it's not.
Yeah, everybody is a little bit different. So I can't say that I have like an approach, a single approach or a single piece of advice for every single person, because, you know, folks think differently and act differently and their lives are different. But I think that if I were to give out sort of some generic advice that can apply to just about everybody, I would say that the two things that you need to do, number one, the paying attention to what you really want is huge when it comes to the cravings and the stress eating. So the thing we just talked about with noticing your urge and figuring out what you really want instead of junk food is really important. And the second thing is, you know, everybody is so busy and so overwhelmed. And very often healthy eating is one of the very last things that they ever pay any attention to or put any effort into. So planning your food and eating on purpose is one of the very most important things to do. So everyone whom I work with has access to these meal planning sheets. And I have something that I came up with. I call it the easy ABC meal combiner. And it basically, every time you eat, if you want to put a healthy meal together, you pick something from column A and something from column B and something from column C. And then your calories are taken care of. Your macronutrients are all taken care of. That's all nerdy nutrition talk. You don't have to know, you know, listeners don't have to pay attention to that, but it allows you to have flexibility when it comes to putting together intentionally healthy meals for yourself, so you're ready. Make healthy food easy.
Yeah, oh my goodness, I couldn't agree with you more, because even for myself and the clients that I work with, planning is the number one step, because I always say when you have what you need, you can't make a bad choice.
Nicely said.
And so I mean, it's just, and I hope everybody really takes that in. Planning. And the fact that you've made it so easy for everybody, kind of like a no-brainer, A, B, and C column, is really, it's genius. And the truth is, you have to plan. And for the people who fall into your profile of being too busy, you know, you can't be too busy for yourself. And so in order to kind of get a leg up on all of this and change these behaviors, the planning stage, just like Dan said, is so important, because when you're planned and you get into the routine of planning, it's your new habit and behavior of planning. You've got this thing, you know, you've got a leg up on beating your sugar addiction. And so, Dan, tell us a little bit about, I know you have this really great gift for our listeners today. Can you tell us a little bit about what the gift is? And where they could find it?
Yeah, I've got a couple things that I'd be glad to give away. I talked about the 3 steps to kill your sugar cravings handout, the guidebook, and that's available for free at beatingsugaraddiction.com. So go grab that for sure. I also have a little quiz that I sometimes give people who categorize themselves as sugar addicts or carboholics. So the 4 types of sugar addicts that we talked about early on in this interview, I have a little quiz, you know, what kind of sugar addict are you? And you can get that at the website also. I think that's up. And if it's not up, just shoot me an email from the website and I'll send it to you.
Okay. Well, there'll be a link in the email that you received announcing my interview with Dan. So you could definitely find the link there to get that quiz. And Dan, and where can they find, you know, Sugar Addiction for Dummies if they're looking to solve this problem? Is it on?
The best thing to do is to come to the beatingsugaraddiction.com website. That's kind of headquarters for all of my material. There are links to some of my books there on Amazon. There are these free guidebooks and giveaways. There's a ton of written and video information there to help people for free. So just go to beatingsugaraddiction.com and get plugged in.
Oh, terrific. Great. Dan, thank you so much.
Thank you, Lisa.
You're so welcome. I am sure that the listeners I can't imagine how many people listening to this interview today are thinking, that's me, when they heard one of those four profiles. So if you kind of want to grab that quiz, go to beatingsugaraddiction.com and grab your, did I get that right?
Beatingsugaraddiction.com. Yes, ma'am. That's correct.
And grab your quiz today. And Dan, great having you here. And you have a great rest of your day.
You have a great rest of the day too. Thank you, everyone.
See you soon.